Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, this morning as I sit back and we've had just a rain-filled weekend, it has been so good and so much needed. I don't know about you, but as I drive by and I see the crops outside, they are looking fantastic. It looks like here in our state of Iowa that we are truly going to have a bumper crop. And we are thankful for that so much this morning. Now, today you might be listening to KBOE 104.9 FM, and you have traveling down the highway. I want to encourage you to stay on this morning. I believe that we have an exciting word as we continue our teaching series, It's a Time to Roar. You're not going to want to miss this today because I think it's going to speak to somebody who needs a word of encouragement and also, too, what it means for our voices to roar within ourselves. So be careful as you're traveling down that highway today. Keep your eyes straight ahead. We'll get you in the Word of God and something exciting. And also, too, this morning I want to thank those who are on their way to church. What a great time to go ecclesia, a place where we go to worship together as family, the family of God. I just want to thank you for listening. Also, too, many of you shared with me, and I say this every weekend, I want to thank you for listening, taking time. This is your church time. You're sitting at home listening to the radio, taking time to listen to Vital Ministries. And I want to thank you personally this morning in appreciation for all of that. And I just want to thank you for this day. Also, too, we have an exciting event. Before we jump in this morning, we have an exciting event that is today. What we have today is our Vital Gathering. It's from 5 to 7 o'clock here in Oskaloosa, Iowa, excuse me, at Debbie's Celebration Barn. And you're not going to want to miss out tonight because we're going to be closing our teaching series, It's a Time to Roar. And I'm excited because God has got a word for us that I believe that's going to happen for tonight, and you're not going to want to miss it. We're going to look at what it means for where are all the blacksmiths. And that's a new teaching for this night. And I think it's going to be a word of encouragement for somebody. And I believe that God has got something special. We're at the very beginning. We're going to have food. Man, we always have great food at the very beginning of our night. And just a time as brothers and sisters in Christ. Though also, too, what a great time to invite somebody who would not come to church with you, but may come to this event. Again, it's at Debbie's Celebration Barn from 5 to 7 o'clock. It's on the south side of Oskaloosa. Debbie and Denny do such a beautiful job in this building. They have marriages and also two different things that are going on that people get married in that building. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful setting. We're going to have great worship. We're going to have great food. And we're going to have a great word from the Lord that I believe is going to be exciting. So don't miss it. It's this Sunday, July 11th. From 5 to 7 o'clock at Debbie's Celebration Barn. You're not going to want to make sure that you do not miss this event. It's going to be essential for you to be there. So I just want to thank everyone for coming. Take time because it's easy for us to, you know, it's unbelievable. We are in July and it's the start. We've had a hot week this week, but what a great time as family and friends that we can come together for this a great event. So again, you're invited, Debbie's Celebration Barn, 5 to 7 o'clock tonight. Great time of worship, great time of food, and great time of getting into God's Word. You won't want to miss it. With that being said today, you know, this morning, as we get ready to jump into the Word of God, if you're at home and you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, and we're going to start with verse 10. But as I think it's a time to roar, it's essential for us to be prepared and have the right armor on, and also to have the right weapons as we go and we speak, as God calls us out to do some incredible things in the midst of our lives. This past week, I had an opportunity, actually it was on Monday. We had this past Monday off due to the fact that July 4th weekend. And I had a chance to stop and speak with a woman in New Sharon. She runs a flower shop or helps there. Her name's Miss Diane. And the thing that I appreciate about Miss Diane is she's always kind. And she always encourages me. I don't think she knows that she does that. But just by her presence, she does that. And what I find interesting in her ministry is in kindness and also, too, doing acts of service for people. And she shared with me, which I did not know in the community of New Sharon, that she is responsible. She goes out and the flowers that are outside along the streets and stuff, that's her part of her job, is she goes out and makes sure that those flowers are watered and they look good. And if you ever get a chance to get through the community of New Sharon, you'll see those flowers. I encourage you to tell Miss Diane she is doing a wonderful job, and we want to give her a big thank you, just as much as Brent Stamm does the same thing in Oskaloosa at Stamm's Greenhouse. He does the same thing. He goes out, he sells flowers over on the east side. Brent is an incredible man of God, and he does the same thing in Oskaloosa. He makes all the flowers that you see hanging from the different posts beautiful. And I tell you what, this is a ministry for both Miss Diane and also too with Brent, because this is the way that they allow their voices to roar. And I think it's important, it's essential for us to be honoring of those places of business. And that's our place to where we can go and say, hey, we really appreciate what you do, and we buy things from them. And I just encourage you to do that this morning as you take time in your week and different things that you might need. Stop by. Tell both of them, thank you for making our communities look beautiful. It's their place to roar. Now, this morning as we jump into Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to put on the armor of God. And we've heard this multiple times in the teachings. But I think it's essential for us this morning to take a look back, because if our voices are truly going to roar for today, we have to be battle ready. And I think that's essential for us. I like what it says in the Marines. One of the things they talk about as they get prepared for battle, and it's another thing that's important for us today is to look at is this, is for us to be always ready, always equipped. And what the word is, how are you today? Semper Artemis, which means always ready, always equipped. You've got to be ready. Don't you believe that in as we go out as Christians today to battle against the enemy? So we're going to jump into the Word of God this morning and look at what it says from the Apostle Paul as he gives us to put on our armor every day and to have the weapon, the one weapon we have to combat against the enemy. And it says this starting with verse 10. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. I tell you what, this morning, I love that verse because it's encouraging. It's telling us to be strong in the Lord. Paul is giving a final word in his mighty power. And that's essential for us today as we truly put on the armor of God, is that we are mighty, powerful Christian soldiers for what's going in front of us. But then it goes on, it says this, put on all God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty power and the dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. See, it's not like the same battle that goes on so much that we see sometimes in movies, where we'll go out and they see these armies going up against one another. I don't know if you've had a chance, but I always liked The Lord of the Rings. And in The Lord of the Rings, in the trilogy, it shows a lot of fighting that goes against the dark enemy. And I think that kind of gives us a little bit of a visual to see just how our enemy is, that he's always combating, is always going against good against evil. And that has been the process since the time began of the creation of the world to the ending of the world, when God will come back and rapture up his church and the tribulation will begin. And I believe with all this within me, we've got to be ready and we've got to be equipped to go take on this battle. And I think it's important for us that we got to see that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against the unseen world, against the demonic, against the enemies. And I think it's important for us today to always be ready and always to be prepared for that. Because Paul tells us for this, when it comes, this is what we're supposed to do. But let's keep reading on this morning. It says, therefore, put on the armor of God, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be able to be standing firm. Standing your ground, putting on. No, hold on. I'm going to hold on with that just a second. We're going to come back to that. So you got to remember, when we take our stand, it's always for a day. It's a time. It's a season. And how about you? As I look back in my life, I can see seasons and I can see days in which the enemy has come fully against me. Now, what I like about this portion of scripture is I can remember a time in my life when it was the darkest time in my life. And that was when actually, the truth of the fact to be said, folks, it was when I was going through a divorce in my first marriage. It was a darkest hour of my whole life. And I tell you, what isn't something I wanted, but it's something that happened. This is important too to realize in divorce. It's on both sides, and it's easy to sit there and point against the other person of what they've done wrong or what should have been done. But I think it's important for us today as Christians that we look at our portion. What did it bring? What did we bring to the table for our marriage to break? And I tell you what, folks, for me, it was work. I was a working machine. And what happened was I truly neglected my marriage because I was so infatuated and driven in my work world. And what happened is when my marriage broke, the enemy came fully against me and truly wanted me to see that I was the most worthless person on the planet. You ever felt that way before, where the enemy comes against you and he makes you feel like you are the most worthless person? I think this is what happens when we get to that and we get to believe in it, is when the enemy comes, because he comes to do this, folks, comes to steal and destroy your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take it away and destroy your life. And what better way to do that? And I think that's why it's so big in our culture today, is people that's taken their lives. Because it's lost hope. And what happens is we don't have the armor on, and the enemy comes and tells us that we're worthless, that there's nothing good in us worth even to live in, to take up breath. And by doing so, the enemy convinces us to come kill, steal, and destroy, and to take our lives. And what a sad place. And I hear the stories of people, and many of you out there know someone, maybe even a loved one in your family, that has taken their life. And what a great loss that is. It's a tragedy when someone takes their life. But I think if we have the armor of God and we put that in our lives, that we're always ready against the enemy and what he's trying to come up against us. So he says this, stand your ground. And I think in standing your ground, I think it's battle ready. And if you ever watch a person who's standing their ground in the military, they are in a position and battle ready. They're not sitting back in their heels. They are sitting on the palms of their feet and they're ready to go to battle. But this is what the enemy says. He says, first of all, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, which is part of the armor of God's which is standing in his righteousness. See, the belt of truth, when we put that on, we stand in the righteousness of God. We stand in the truth and who God is. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, I want to know your truth. Well, you know what? Every person has a different truth within them. There's only one truth that stands forever, and that is the truth of God and the righteousness of knowing who we are in him. We put on the belt. Paul does such a good job because he describes it, because he was a lot of times around and actually chained to military people. And he takes that analogy and helps us to see this truth about what it means to put on the armor of God, of what is truth. So I want you to think about that this morning. What is truth? The truth comes only from the Word of God. If you want to find truth and want to find your truth, go to the Word of God, and that is where you're going to find it. And I think today, so much of truth, what is truth? Because it's so easy for us to get caught up in someone else's truth or in a way that doesn't make sense. And we follow that person, we follow those things in their lives. And how about you? I'm in my life a lot of times now that I'm trying to find out when I speak with people, what is the really truth that they're trying to tell me? And it's so distorted. It's so taken away from the context of what truly truth is. So I encourage you this morning, put on the belt of truth of righteousness. Now the next thing he says is, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Now, shoes are essential, aren't they, when you see in the military? How about you? But I've noticed as I look at the men and women who are battle ready in their army uniforms, they all have, without a doubt, shoes that are ready for battle. They're not Nikes. They're not Adidas. They're not a tennis shoe. They are battle-ready shoes. They are ready to take the land, so they're constantly moving forward. It makes it so you have sure footing. And so when I think about that, what shoes are you putting on today when you make ready for battle? Are your shoes ready and prepared so you're not slipping and sliding around? I get so frustrated. My dad, I get to share a quick story. My dad, in all of his life, has worn shoes as being a builder that are the soft soles. They're actually smooth on the bottom side of them, but they fit great when you're on construction and especially when you're on a roof. They're good. They stick. they hold. But the problem is my father, as he runs equipment, and I've got to laugh at him, and I hope even if he's hearing me this morning, gives me an umbrella of mercy. I'm scared to death he's going to slide on him, because what happens when you get in rough terrain or on equipment, my dad drives heavy equipment, and you get on that steel, it's easy to slide and fall off, and I'm scared to death as my dad, as he gets older, he's going to fall. And I keep telling him, Dad, you got to get the right shoes on as you go out and do this. Of course, you know what? My dad is 80 years old, as if I'm going to tell him what to do, right? So with that being said, it's important for us to have the right shoes. Put on the shoes of peace so that when we go, as we go into life and we go into battle, as you head into that, does your shoes have a contention of speech, of peace? Excuse me. Then it goes on to this. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith that stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, the shield of faith, that is the defense one. That is the one that was, as we go out into battle, we hold up the shield of faith, because the enemy is always trying to fire those arrows at us to take us out. So when they come at us, the shield of faith is the deflection. Where do you stand in your faith? How do you know who you are in Christ? I think that is absolutely essential today, is having faith. Only by faith are we made righteous before the Lord. Faith is what is the game changer in us and how we are in our Christian faith. I love it as we think of Abraham. Think of Abraham for a second, a man of great faith. He is the father of faith, that is, we read in the Bible. Now, it's important for us to, as we realize our faith, how is your faith today? Does it hold true against when the enemy comes at us? Faith is knowing who you are. You know what, today, I'll tell you this. This is what I believe. When you know who you are, men and women in Christ, brothers and sisters of faith, that you stand and you are battle ready. You can hold up that faith and know who you are in Christ. Because I tell you what, everything against our culture today is coming against our faith. Would you agree with me with that this morning? They are. They are coming against our faith. Who doesn't do better sometimes than even family members to come against our faith and come contentious against us and reminding us of who we were instead of who we are in Christ? There's a difference. See who we are. I can sit there and look back in the midst of my faith and see the things of failures and the things that I've done in my life. I just shared with you this morning, one of the failures in my life is in my first marriage, a divorce. I find often that people want to remind us of the failures of the things of our past. And I believe with all that's within me that you've got to know in your faith and who you are. I actually put it up in a mirror once when I was going through the darkest hour of my life. I'm enough in Christ, because what that did for me, when I looked at that every morning, it helped bring faith in my life. It helped me to know who I am, not who the enemy was trying to tell me who I am, but who I truly was in Christ. So it says to put on the shield of faith. Then it says next, put on the salvation as your helmet. Now, putting on the salvation of the helmet is key. You ever see in any football player, when they go out and they get ready to go onto the field, they always have the right helmets. And we've seen that so much, especially with concussions and all the things that are going on, that they're constantly making the helmets better to go against because of the blows that happen to those men that are out on the football field. Because if you don't have the right helmet on, folks, you're not going to make it. So it's knowing who your salvation. And I think it's essential for us today, salvation. And I'm going to give a word of an umbrella of mercy this morning. See, folks, and hear me on this. Just because you get baptized as a baby and that you stand up and take in front of a church or being dedicated in your youth of a promise of your faith where you stand up and say, I'm going to be a Christian, that does not get you into the kingdom of heaven. What gets you into the kingdom of heaven is coming before the Lord and asking him to forgive you of your sins. And by doing so, we have a changed life. We're no longer the old person that once was, but we are the new person. Because it's so easy to become religion and religious. And that's not what God is saying here. He's saying, I want you to have a changed life where you have relationship with me, that you are a new creation. Paul says that great. We are a new creation in Christ. And that only comes through salvation. And salvation makes us change. And maybe this morning you have never truly asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. That is the beginning of the salvation. And by doing so, we simply come before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell, but I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. And it says in the Bible that Jesus is ready to forgive us. That is the beginning of salvation, and that's the beginning of the transformation of our life, is when through that we move from Jesus being more than just the Savior of our life to where He truly becomes the Lord of our lives. We become changed people. We become changed Christians, and that changes us in our lives. So no longer are we that old person that was once was, but we are a new person. But let's keep going on. As we put on the salvation, now we put on the full armor of God. And he says this, and now take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now I love that. So what is the only place that shows that we can combat, the only piece of armor we've put on the armor? Now the Lord has given us a weapon. The weapon is the word of God. The word of God is a part of our lives, folks. I don't know how you can make it in your faith if you don't get into the Word of God on a daily basis, where it actually becomes a part of your life, becomes a part of your thinking. It becomes a part in which you can combat against the enemy and against the things that he tries to come against us. And what I love about this is when the enemy comes and tells us who he says we are, we take the Word of the Spirit and say, no, that is not who I am. I am a new creation in Christ. I have asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And Jesus is ready and willing. He stands at the door. I love it. It says in Revelation 3:20, he stands at the door and knocks. But if you notice he doesn't open the door. We open the door. And when we open the door, we receive the power of Christ. And also, too, the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the sword of the Spirit is done with fire. That comes from the Holy Spirit. He is fire. He is the one that tempers us. And as we go through the things in the midst of our lives and the battle driven every day, if we're truly going to have a voice today, a voice that roars, we've got to put on God's armor and have the sword of the Spirit to be ready. So it's essential. Now, you've heard me say multiple times, I have read the Bible through each year, and I keep doing that. I change the different versions, but I go through and I read it year after year, because what I find, it truly gets into the marrow of the soul of my body in the midst of my thinking. So when the enemy comes and shares and tells me who I'm not, I can come back and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and remind him what God. Don't think that the enemy's not going to come against you, folks. He come against Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, the enemy comes and takes him three different times and tries to get him to bow down to him. Well, how does Jesus combat against the enemy? He uses the word of God. He comes back with God's word to combat against the enemy. Not his words, but the words from the Father himself. And I encourage you today, if we are going to be battle ready, semper immatis, we have got to be ready, always ready. Ready for battle, ready for the fight, ready to go out against what the enemy does and brings all the foes of the darkness of this world. And I tell you what, folks, we are in a rapid race of the enemy and his darkness. It has accelerated since January at such an accelerated rate that I have not seen it any greater than what is happening, what the enemy is doing in all my life, and I just turned 61 years old, than I have seen today. He is coming with full force, and he is trying to bring the darkness, because you know why, folks? He knows he's going to lose, but what he does, no better way that he can come against God is to take the people that were made in the image of God, which is us. What greater way to come against God is to get his people to doubt and to fall from their faith. And it says at the end times, it says in the Bible that at the end times, no greater will there be a falling away than there is now. And folks, all we have to do is look around. We have to see our churches are empty. He has done it through, I believe, with all that's in me, this pandemic that has happened, getting to cover up our faces, the distancing. We're told to distance, and not to come and congregate together. Folks, I believe we've got to be ready and we've got to make ready for health, but at the same time, it's essential for us to come together and worship the Lord in unity. And in the church, in the time of like what I just shared with you today that we're having tonight, a vital gathering, we need to come together and praise God and get into His Word and make ready for battle. Now tonight, I'm going to give you a brief look about tonight for those that are listening. I'm going to talk about where are the blacksmiths tonight. And we're going to jump into Samuel. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah. And even finishing up with what I've read with you today in Ephesians. Because I'm excited about what God is doing. So put on God's armor today. Make ready. It says this in verse 18. It says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's how Paul ends it up. He takes the time. We've done all these things, put the armor of God. We got the sword of the spirit. And then he tells us to pray at all times in the midst of our day. Take time to be praying to the Lord, asking the Lord for help. Ask Holy Spirit. We need your fire. We need your presence. We need for you to make ready for us today as we jump in and ready for battle. Each day, try to subconsciously, as you get ready to go out in your day, as I've read in Ephesians 6, where you take on the armor of God and you take the sword of the spirit as you go out in the midst of your day. I believe, folks, that's how we defeat the enemy. That's how we are battle ready, because, folks, a great battle is coming, and the Lord is looking across the land for his soldiers, those that are faithful and who live in righteousness will be put in and made part of that great army that Jesus is bringing. Let's pray this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity where we get time to sit and listen and to open up the word, your word, the sword of the spirit. And Lord, I pray that today as we take on and put on the armor of God that you told Paul to write about, that we truly take on that armor and make it a part of our lives. That it's a change. It's a change of transformation. It's a place of where we know our salvation. We've got to know today, Lord, who we are in you. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, again, I want to thank you for all that you've done, the work that you did on the cross, risen from the dead 3 days later, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for being changed men and women. In your precious holy name, amen. Folks, as you can tell, I'm excited about this word this morning. I believe that God has given us this word, and it's going to challenge us to make us to be different as we allow our voices to roar. I want to thank you for being a part of Vital Ministries today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.